and be in your car or go wherever you want to go.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, and I'm broadcasting live from Northwest Arkansas as we continue on this rally. It's called Bikes, No Blues and Barbecue, because they decided, as in Fayetteville, there where the university is, they decided they weren't going to hold the official rally, but you know how bikers are. They decided to come anyway, and so officially kicks off tomorrow. And one of my side things that I love to do is I'm a motorcycle enthusiast, and we go around to the different rallies all around the country, and we celebrate with our biker friends, and we work alongside Harley Davidson. And so that's the other thing I do when I'm not on the radio. So we're out here in Northwest Arkansas, and we're connecting with Liberty faith-filled people doing great work within the community, and it has been an incredible experience already so far, and got some great feedback about yesterday's show with the Nicole House here in Northwest Arkansas. Of course, today is the very first day of fall, and we're feeling it in the Pacific Northwest, right? Rain continuing to be in the forecast, and temperatures in the high 60s, overnight lows in the 50s. And certainly here in Northwest Arkansas as well, it's rainy today and feeling much like fall today. And even pulled out the sweatshirt. I don't know. Have you done that switch in your wardrobe? Got tucked away the whites, right? Pulled out the sweatshirts and getting ready for that fall season. Well, I want to thank our show sponsor today, Bill Sunderland with Country Financial Sunderland Agency. I want to remind you, if you have any insurance needs or help with your finances, give Bill a call, 503 885-0789. Well, this is kind of a fun morning for me. I get to meet this beautiful woman, Celeste. She and we met through her husband, believe it or not, when we were working at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, and we were talking about being from Arkansas. His ears perked up and said, "I'm from Arkansas." And I said, "Really? Well, what do you do?" And we got to talking back and forth, and he told me about his wife, and he told me a little bit about his story and his family story, and that his wife is on this adventure of starting a nonprofit in a field that's very, very needed and unique to some families, not only in Northwest Arkansas, but also in the Pacific Northwest and Oregon. And I thought, man, this is of interest and certainly something we need to talk about. And as parents, and now I'm a grandparent, it's something definitely on my heart. And so I introduce to you this morning, Celeste. Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you on the show this morning. And I think your story is compelling as a mom. I want you to tell us a little bit about you and your family and what it is that that led you to want to start this nonprofit.
Sure. So my husband and I met when we were in the military. And once he retired, we moved to Arkansas. And we decided to go ahead and have another child. So we have a son. And once he was born, we learned that his development was a little different than what we had experienced with our daughter. And we did end up taking him for some testing finally and learned that he does, in fact, have a disability. So he was born missing his cerebellum, and that affected him, basically global delay. Didn't walk or speak or sit. Those typical milestones on time. For instance, he didn't walk until he was about 3.5 years old. And furthermore, we had him tested when he was about 4, and it turns out he is also autistic. So just going on this journey, having to learn new terminology, having to look around and find resources to give him the best chances for gaining those skills that he's going to need into adulthood. We looked around and we see, you know, there's a lot for young children, but there is hardly anything for adulthood at all. And being the forward-thinking people that we are, we know that we need to plan for his adulthood. He's 10, but we know that if we don't start planning now, you know, we could give him a better chance if we start planning now. So looking around at all the adult resources, we see there are some. It's not plentiful. There's a great need for housing in particular. And quality housing at that. There's a lot of housing that may be available, and there's people on a waiting list for group homes, et cetera. But you rarely find a home that is inclusive or that might include some amenities, such as a swimming pool or a gym, you know, things that people, so long as they have the financial ability, could choose to have those things. But adults with disabilities tend not to get that choice. They tend not to even be available, regardless of how much money you have. And so there starts the adventure of a nonprofit. I did run into several other families who are feeling the same way, and we just started getting together over coffee and just started talking about, you know, what we would like to see. None of us initially thought we would start some kind of nonprofit. We are not. That is not our industry. That's not what we went to college for. We're all different in our careers. But we've decided that if we don't do it, who's going to?
Talk to me a little bit about, Celeste, your background. You're currently in school, and you're working on your advanced degree. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So one of the things as a parent of a child with differences is that you start seeking out ways that you can support your child, and there's not a whole lot we can control. So what I can control is my knowledge base and how much I choose to educate myself. And not only that, but how can I help other people? You know, I'm not the only one in this situation. There's a lot of us, and it's hard to look at a parent and not have any answers. And so I decided, to become a special educator. And I did that for a few years. But I wanted something more. I wanted to have a greater effect. And so I came across a doctoral program at the University of Arkansas. It's called L4T, or Leaders for Transition. And it's new. It's a grant program by OSEP. And what it does is it combines OU and the University of Arkansas, 5 candidates at each campus. And the goal by the end of the program is to have a PhD and be much more knowledgeable about the field, be able to contribute research in the field, be able to advocate, and also obviously in hopes of educating the public, educating policymakers, wherever my path may lead.
That's outstanding, and you're equipping yourself to be well-rounded to not only help your family, but many other families. And the beautiful part about this is, like you said, your son is 10. What is his name?
Oh, his name is Zane.
Oh, Zane. That you're getting all of this knowledge and information so that you could put a program together that not only helps those here in our area, but maybe across the country. You're really on the forefront in an area that's needed, aren't you?
Definitely. But I'm also looking to other leaders in the field that have already paved the way up to a certain point. And as you might understand, there a lot of ideas are built on other ideas. So just to push that forward, that adults with disabilities are protected under the Constitution like everyone else, and they should have additional choices like everyone else, and they should be able to vote, and they should be able to be included in the community. It's just sometimes we have to tweak those philosophies, those old philosophies that are out there that are preventing that progress.
Yeah, that's very good, and that's a good point, because as parents, you know, we have a right to be involved in our child's education and every part of their health care as well. And we're the leaders of that. And sometimes it's a challenge when we have children that have unique challenges in their development. Sometimes we feel like the specialists know better, and we're not sure how to advocate for our children. And certainly right now we're living in some pretty interesting times where in education, everything that we know for just in general education, parents are upended. But even more so, let's amplify that more with parents who are mitigating COVID-19 and all of the rules to try to advocate for our children is a difficult thing. And when we get back from this break, I want us to talk a little bit more about how that affected your family and the people that you know in regards to their education and quality of education and the support services needed. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. We're having an interesting morning this morning. I appreciate your patience this morning as it is with remote. We have some technical challenges but we have a plan B and we're working off of our phones today. And this has been so fun. I invite people, if you have a question for myself or Celeste this morning, you want to join in the conversation in regards to working with families and dealing with children or adults. Maybe you have adults that you're working with that have some challenges. We certainly would welcome you to the conversation. Our studio line is 503-589-1220, and it's important that we help each other out and support one another as we continue in the conversation. I also want to say, if you have an event coming up, and I did hear from some folks, there's some events coming up, I appreciate the email. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, @KSLM.news. We'd love to help promote, come alongside you with the event. They had a great 40 Days of Life kickoff on Sunday, and that event officially kicks off the 23rd, and so we want to watch Facebook on that to get involved. Also, we've got some things coming up this weekend, all around the state, in fact, coming up within the next week. And moreover, coming up on the 1st of October, we're going to go to 2 hours. Real excited about that. Again, we invite you to join the conversation today. You can join us at 503-589-1220. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, KSLM Radio, and check out our new website, KSLM.news. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We are enjoying a wonderful conversation this morning with Celeste, and she is here telling her story. We met in Sturgis, South Dakota during the bike rally here, and she is from Northwest Arkansas, and she's launching a new nonprofit organization, and we're going to continue the conversation. Thank you for tuning in this morning, and we're excited to share with you so many things coming up. In fact, I want to thank Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, for being a show sponsor this morning. Ready to go above and beyond to serve you. If you need any real estate needs, if you have needs, want to sell, want to buy, give them a call, 503-939-7099. That's Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're enjoying a wonderful morning right here in Northwest Arkansas, broadcasting live from Pig Trail Harley-Davidson during the Bikes No Blues Rally. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Tuesday. Can you believe it's already September 22nd? Yes, it's the first day of fall, and oh, we're feeling it in the air. And so glad. I'm hearing reports in the Pacific Northwest that the smoke has faded and that fall is in the air, and that's good. I know that we are still contending with fires, and now Governor Brown went out and about and did some more evaluation of the damage and has pledged her support to families and those first responders who have been on the front lines. And that's always encouraging words. And as we move towards the election, you know, we're just about 6 weeks away, and just right around the corner, we're going to be getting our voter guides, and we're going to be looking at who we want to evaluate, who we want to elect to be our leaders for the next few years. And it's certainly important to make sure that we get registered to vote, and that we know what the issues are, and we know that we vote our values, right? That's so important, and we can't say it enough. And as we move towards the election here on October 1st, we're going to go to 2 hours. So I'm excited about that. I'm a little nervous, to be honest, going 2 hours, but I think we'll do just fine. And part of the success of the show and going to 2 hours is your interaction. When you call in and you add to the conversation, that brings value. So I thank you for those of you that are calling in and joining the conversation. I try to have topics that are of interest. And today, it's so good to have Celeste with me today. She is here in Northwest Arkansas, and it's so good to hear her story and her family story and what she's doing, starting a nonprofit organization. Celeste, thanks for joining the conversation today. Talk to us a little bit about the name of this organization that you're launching.
Okay, sure. So the name of the organization is called Perspectability, because many conversations that we were having when we were first beginning was, what is the root issue? What is the reason that it may be that individuals with differences are not exactly included in our community, or thought of, you know, many people in the public that are not directly affected, they're kind of indifferent to this population. They're not against this population, but maybe they're not keeping them in mind either when creating activities and such. And so we feel like the root cause of this is really just about your perspective. And do you have the ability to see another's perspective? Do you take the time, or do you think about what the perspective may be? And so we felt like Perspectability was really appropriate for our organization.
I love that. And, you know, you may or may not know this, I was a foster mom. And so I had the opportunity to have many different children in my home, along with the children that I gave birth to. And I love that what you've been saying is individuals with differences. That's impactful for me, because certainly as a foster mom, and a lot of the emotional and physical trauma that the children face that I had the privilege of parenting, every child is unique. Every individual is unique, and they need as much encouragement, coaching, supporting, and resources, right? And so when we talk about COVID-19 and how families who are facing these differences in their children, how has that impacted you with Zane and the families that you know that you're networking with here in Northwest Arkansas? Because I'm sure it's the same in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because honestly, I've been communicating with lots of families who are affected, and the effect on a person who's different, who already has challenges socially in the first place, is really enormous. Whenever their only social interaction tends to be school, because the neighbor children don't understand or don't know how to play with someone who's different. And so there are other social interaction opportunities at school. And now with COVID, if the family has even chosen to send their child to school, they're wearing masks, right? So if they have a speech difficulty, that is further muffling their ability to communicate. That's furthering the difficulty of understanding facial expressions. They can't see it. They're behind plexiglass. They can't eat and sit by each other at lunch and have any free social time. They have to sit by, you know, far apart between plexiglass. They can't face each other and eat, because they have to take off their masks, so they wouldn't want anything going between the students. And understandably so, we want to prevent further spread of COVID. But the toll on individuals with differences, like I said, is enormous, particularly my son. I can speak to how it affects him. And it has even generated behaviors out of him that we hadn't seen before. And it's because he's not getting that social peace. You know, as humans, we want to feel connected. And when someone who was born different and has different ways of feeling connectedness, They still desire it and they still need it. And this whole situation has really been very difficult on my family.
My my oldest daughter works in an organization in South Dakota that supports families like you all as their kids have gotten older. But it's more of an institution. It's more institutionalized because that's been the way people have handled it in the past. I love your ideas in the transitional and in the community. I think that's exactly where we need to go. She has talked to me about the difficulties it has been to try to explain what's going on with COVID and why all of a sudden the barriers and the difficulty, because as you said, personal touch, connectivity, that reinforcement of a hug, all of those things that they're discouraging right now has caused, like you said, other behaviors and difficulties. What are you doing to bring encouragement to Zane, and what are you doing for yourself to bring encouragement during this time?
Wow, that's loaded. I don't know if I'm doing it well, but currently my son is going to school, and despite how divided it is, I do believe that that is a greater social connection than keeping him at home. And for my son, social interaction is very, very important, and it is a high motivator for him. And I realize that's not for every person with differences, but for my son, it is. And so we've chosen to send him to school. Also, he does participate in certain therapies, of which he is getting in person, and that's helping a little bit, but that's not a peer, that's another adult. And I personally am in a doctoral program, and so I do get to communicate with lots of other adults.
We're going to continue this. I have more questions for Celeste after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Tuesday, broadcasting live from Northwest Arkansas all the way to the Pacific Northwest. We'll be back. Thanks for tuning in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. Welcome to your Tuesday, the first day of fall. Hello, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with you from Northwest Arkansas. Yes, I'm on the road again. It's kind of like, where is Waldo? Where's Stacey Ann today? We are having fun out here in Northwest Arkansas. And if you know a little bit about my story, this is actually has been home for the last several years. And we adventured out to Oregon in January. And of course, started the show in March. And then the big close down happened, right? COVID-19 and everybody's life all across the country has been upended, and we are doing the best that we can to get through the season and believing for better days, and certainly trying to keep this show in a place that's here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you and I with information that we can use, and keeping our eyes focused on the good things that are happening in our community and all around the country. And in my journeys, when we were in Sturgis, South Dakota, I met this wonderful family, and Celeste is now on the phone with me, or actually she's here with me live, but we're working, she's on the phone as well, and that's a whole nother story for another day. But we are enjoying a wonderful conversation about how as parents, walk through when we have in our family individuals with differences, and how do we advocate for our children. And Celeste, I want to thank you for being here with me today, and I want to thank you for telling your story, and moreover, for casting that vision of how we can make the future for our children with differences, and our family members, and even our colleagues have children as well. And what I've heard in Oregon, I'm a part of a parental rights group in Oregon where we're working on together on how to get through this COVID-19 and all of the changes. And you as an educator, I'm real curious about how can parents advocate for themselves and exert their rights as parents to advocate for their children in education as an educator and now launching this nonprofit organization. Give some good word and good news and some insight to these parents.
Oh, goodness. So many parents have to tackle the school system whenever they have a child with differences. And the way that they are served is through a document called an IEP. And parents actually already have a lot of rights, but maybe not the knowledge or understanding that they have it. So what I have found as an educator many times is the parent will come to the meeting, but be very submissive or be very, they will just accept everything that I offer, and they won't necessarily understand that if they read through every piece that they must definitely have choices. And I am definitely the type of educator that encourages and empowers parents, and I encourage them to read the whole thing and don't find anything till you agree for sure. And make sure it makes sense for your child and that this really is a, you know, a best fit for them. But that's not where we stop. I mean, really, parents, to empower them, I encourage them to look more at the local resources and what is out there, and question all of the curriculum and ask about the transition program. Don't just accept what is handed to you, but actually dive in. What organization is providing that transition program? The school may have chosen it, but that doesn't mean that you as a parent have to accept it. You should check into, do you agree? Do your philosophies with that organization align with what you want for your child? And I definitely encourage parents to do that, because I'm certainly seeing where schools are choosing the transition program without any parental input. And the parents, when they come to the table, they're told, this is the transition program we recommend, but they aren't given the other choices because they weren't chosen by the school. And that's not how it should be. Parents are the subject matter expert on their child. Parents know what their child's skills are, what their needs are, and they, you know, we are the ones, we are the champions for our kiddos and what we believe our children should be able to do. And that's another thing. It's all about presuming competence, and maybe your school does not presume competence. Maybe it shows in the programming that they offer. Definitely step forward. Vocalize, ask a lot of questions. You don't know the inside on how the curriculum is being chosen and delivered. Look up the district initiatives. If the district initiatives for the gen ed population is a certain way, it also is the initiative for the special education population, although sometimes they don't implement it that way. And so you definitely can call them out on it and make sure it's being implemented for all students, because that is the way it's presented and that's the way it should be. So those are some things that I would recommend parents look into when it comes to public education, for sure.
And I love that insight there. Just thinking again about my foster children that I've walked through IEPs with, and how, and I would ask the questions and they'd look at me like, oh, we better see. They're used to, in a sense, which is a sad case, not being questioned. And I think that's important. And grandparents, a lot of grandparents out there that are helping in their grandchildren's education as well. And so it's okay to ask questions, and we encourage you. Now, shifting gears a little bit, many of these programs within the schools, we're going to have to watch in this new season, because I think school budgets are going to be really challenged. And another way that parents and grandparents can get involved is making sure our elected leaders know how critical these programs are and these services are to our families, and that they know, and we show up and we vote for people, right?
Absolutely. But another piece of this that really should be honed in on and kept accountable is choices for programs is based on liability. So for instance, a transition program may have been outsourced to an organization rather than the school provided, in part because the liability gets transferred to that organization. Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so no one is keeping accountability on what that program looks like. And for instance, if it's outsourced to an organization that is a nonprofit, they can't exactly be sued. And so the liability gets transferred, the accountability is low, and then the parents have no idea because they didn't ask, you see?
Wow.
And it may not be an appropriate program for their student. It might be wonderful, but ask. Don't just expect everything. Sometimes decisions are not made based on the best interest of the student. Sometimes programs aren't various enough to be offered to every appropriate need. You need to ask.
And that's an unfortunate place of where we're at, exactly what you're sharing and what I've seen. Sometimes through districts, it's motivated by the dollar. And we need to advocate for our children and our grandchildren and be involved and be engaged so that we can keep that accountability high. I love that insight. Now, when we talk about this nonprofit organization and the transition that you're starting, how do you see this being funded? Are you writing grants? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay, so anyone who's been in the nonprofit world knows how hard it is to get started. We are approaching the starting line by starting a tulip farm, a UPIC tulip farm. We happen to have the land already, and we have individuals that can go ahead and prepare the land for us, and we'll have to get out there and plant it. And it's going to be a hard start, but we believe that we can use this as a platform to educate the public. So we would like to present it in a way that when people go out there to pick tulips and enjoy the farm, they're also walking away with another piece of information having to do with residential options for adults, the differences. And that is what it's going to benefit. So any monies made is going towards that purpose. Also, we plan to, and we already have in mind, two adults that are neurodivergent and offering them work. You know, if they, so basically anyone who is interested in that type of work that are neurodivergent, we'd like to create employment opportunities for them. And this is our start. We need to get the word out. We need to educate the public on the need in the first place. We run into a lot of people who don't even understand how desperate of a need this really is. If you are to look at the statistics, and there's a lot of statistics posted on Autism Housing Network website if you want to go there, but they're really great about collecting the statistics and putting it in an understandable format. And you can see that over 7 million people, 7 million adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities are in our country. But only about 10% are actually in a residential option. Only about 2% are in their own place and not in a provider held housing. And so that is terrible. That's really, really low. And about 83% of the individuals are living with their parents still. The problem with that is, as we understand, our human bodies don't live forever. So these parents are aging, 60 years old, 70 years old. And then what happens when they pass away to these adults with differences? What is going to happen to that person? Hopefully there are siblings, but what if there aren't? Where do they go? What happens to this person? Who even knows that the parents passed away and this person needs to be looked after? So they could be become a ward of the state. They could be found roaming and doing something inappropriate and they get arrested. So many different, really terrible scenarios could happen. And as a parent of a child with differences, of course, that's where my mind goes. But my mind goes there at least once a week. I have to worry about this. I have to consider this and plan for his future because this is not how I want his life to be. He deserves a good quality of life. He deserves to be cared for. And if I have anything to do about it, he not only he will be set up, but I hope to help lots of adults with differences.
What a great, great vision and mission that you're putting together, Celeste. So excited to be visiting with you. And I know there are listeners out there that are encouraged that there is going to be help and hope for this disparate, underserved population of individuals. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, hanging out with Celeste. If you want to join the conversation, you're welcome to give us a call, 503-589-1220. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower all of us to do our part and to roll up our sleeves and be engaged in our community. And certainly this morning we're talking about families that have challenges with individuals with differences. And there really are, they're amongst us and we don't even know. And I think raising our awareness and being really keyed into how these families are walking through life just on a day-to-day basis, let alone now we have COVID. In our whole school system and these natural networks of individuals to support one another. You know, we were just talking right now, you know, if you're in a role, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're in special ed and you're trying to teach from home, you're trying to stay connected to the families that you're supported. I certainly think of my daughter who works in a organization in South Dakota supports individuals with differences. It's been a challenging time because moreover, you want to make sure everybody's healthy and safe and all of those things. But right at the end of the last segment, just tugging at my heart, as Celeste was sharing with us this morning about, you know, if we don't step up now with solutions, what's it going to look like as these individuals with differences age and there is no program, there is no help, there is no transitional living and skill building to help them with all of the things that they have a right to have in life, you know? And so, Celeste, talk to those parents out there and those grandparents that are wondering what the future looks like, just like you. What would you say to them today? How would they get started? Maybe they haven't looked for resources in the community. What would you say?
Oh, goodness. Well, get started now, today. Look around at the resources, but don't just look online. Go and tour those places. Really see. Website sometimes does not speak to how reality really plays out in some of these organizations. Nothing tells you about the atmosphere than actually going, talking to the individuals that provide support or provide any training, and really getting to know what is their true philosophy. It's really difficult because many organizations, once you start looking around, you'll really see that some of them just really can't pay well. And when they can't pay well, they have a high turnover. And then you have these individuals who are constantly new who may or may not get the correct training. And so it's really important to go and tour these places. Are they able to keep their staff from being a high turnover? Are they able to keep them trained? Consider looking at any private pay option if that's available to you, if that's an option for you. I can tell you in Northwest Arkansas, there aren't any private pay options really. They're not even available. So even if a family has the money, there's not a place to even do that with. So just keep looking and look outside of your area. If you feel like there's nothing appropriate in your area, I can tell you that there are places popping up all over the United States being opened by families who have children with differences, and they recognize that they have a particular resource and they're able to get some kind of organization going that it may be more a better fit than what you're looking for. Unfortunately, having to move is not fair, especially when you've already built your community of support, your friends, your church, your family. But, you know, it's a tough decision, but many parents make it. There's a place in Dallas that's pretty great. It's all the way in Dallas, though. You might not want to take your child there, but just, you know, just consider all the resources available. And consider the fact that if there's nothing where you are, look outside of your area. There may be something that is really the best fit.
That's great advice. And I do know yesterday when I was interviewing Sandra with the Nicole House, when she launched that transitional picture of women leaving who had addiction issues, leaving jail and prison and getting back into the community, she actually went to several similar types of homes throughout the country and looked at their modeling of their programming. Mm-hmm. And I know you've done your research mm-hmm. in developing that. 5, 10, 15 years from now, where do you see your program?
Oh, goodness. it's hard to fathom, but what I would like to see for sure is a transition academy and a inclusive neighborhood. I would love to see an inclusive neighborhood. I've been able to tour some other places that I just love. There's some great places in Phoenix and some great places in Texas. And then I'm seeing a lot of articles come across my way where they're building these communities that are inclusive, and meaning that they actually have individuals living within the community that are not necessarily neurodivergent. It's a mix of individuals. It's not just a conglomerate of people with differences living in one place. You know, this is true inclusion. There's some places that I got to visit where senior citizens were encouraged to be supportive neighbors of neurodivergent individuals. It really helps, you know, two parts of our population that are in high need of somewhere to live and somewhere where they can feel inclusive and connected. It was perfect. And there's so many examples of that just popping up all over the place. And research is really ramping up in that area, but there isn't a lot because it hasn't been done very long. It's pretty new. There's a location in Phoenix, Arizona called First Place Phoenix. And Denise Resnick started that, but it was in the making for 20 years where she had to really finagle and figure out and work through the barriers to make it happen. It's a wonderful place. I encourage anyone to check it out. I loved looking at that. It made me feel good. It gave me hope that a place like this could most definitely exist and thrive. These individuals are very happy living there. And that's what I hope to see in Northwest Arkansas. I don't want to have to move to Phoenix. That is a beautiful place. But I want where my family is and where there's a community of people here who also need their place like that here. And so that's what I hope to see in 5 to 10 years and not have, hopefully, less than 20, like what Denise had to endure.
Well, I believe with your motivation, your education, your personal experience, certainly your enthusiasm, I believe that it will happen. And I'm excited because I want to see it successful. And I'm committing my time and resources to help you, Celeste, and your team of individuals and your parents bring encouragement, because I think that is so needed. And you being on the air today has been such a great blessing. I know there are listeners that are going to listen to this, and we'll put it up on the website and have it as a podcast. How can people connect with you?
So currently what we have is a Facebook page, Perspectability. We are working on a website, and it will go live probably within, I want to say, less than a month. But at the moment, all of our communication details are on the Facebook page. We have a phone number, we have an email, and of course you can message us.
Excellent. And so what's a good email that you can, do you know it right off your heart?
I would have to spell it out because my name is not easy to spell. It's cmichaud@perspectability.org.
Excellent. Well, we'll put that up on the podcast as well so people can click on it and just email you for more information. Thank you so much for being on The Morning Show with me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. Thank you for tuning in, my friend. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a great day.